Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Nine to Side podcast, where we chat with super amazing and inspirational people who pounded the pavement before and after their nine to fives to get their side hustles off the ground. After listening to the interviews with these amazing guests, you'll walk away with a refreshed pep in your step and a newfound motivation to make your side hustle a reality. Hey, everybody, and welcome to season 2, episode 7 of the Nine to Side podcast. And if you're listening today, I think we've all probably been through the same thing where we kind of have this crisis of what we're doing with our lives, especially in the last couple of years. We're like, why are we doing what we're doing? Like, what's going on with our careers? Needing some guidance about the direction that we're going. At least I have. I mean, I feel like I have. They always talk about like a quarter life crisis, a midlife crisis. I feel like I have a quarterly crisis, like every quarter. I'm literally every quarter, I'm like, what am I doing with my life? How is this my life? Not in a bad way, but I'm just like, whoa, I need to change something. And then I'm like, it's fine. And then the next quarter comes and I'm like, oh my gosh. I feel like it's so helpful for people, especially people who own their own businesses, to have kind of a guiding voice, someone that can help coach them through those times of crisis when it is really difficult when you have your own business and you are your own boss. There's nobody else to, you know, the buck stops with you and that's it. And there's nobody else to pass the blame to. And a lot of times it is just you running the business for a good portion of the time. So you don't have a lot of people to bounce things off of. And I do think there is a really important need to have kind of like a mentor or a coach, somebody that can help you. And so my next guest does something that I think is really important. She focuses solely on female entrepreneurs and helping women kind of like unblock any kind of blockage they have when it comes to their businesses, helping them kind of coach them through business questions, that sort of thing. And she also has a marketing component to her business. So she comes at it from both sides, which is great. So she can help with marketing ideas, how to get their business and brand out there, but she also helps coach them as well from a mentor standpoint. So without further ado, this is my next guest, Lindsay Stead, and her company is just like her name, it's Lindsay Stead. Welcome, Lindsay Stead. Thanks so much for joining. Tell me also, just confirm for me the name of your business. So I know it's lindsaystead.com. Well, how do you refer to your business?
Yeah, we just use Lindsay Stead, the Lindsay Stead, because I had it as two separate entities, which was, I wanted to simplify. Okay. So I had it as like Gilded Blooms Communications for the agency side of the business, and then Socially On Point for the coaching side of the business. And now we are all one.
Okay. So to transition from there, before we get started in your background and kind of like how you got started, a little bit about you, given that this is all about side hustles, give us the kind of like 1 minute quick elevator pitch of what your business is and whether it is a side hustle right now or whether you've transitioned it to a full-time career.
So in a nutshell, I'm pretty obsessed with helping women with female entrepreneurs uninhibiting themselves and really tapping into who they are at their core and bringing the joy back into their businesses. So I offer that on the coaching side. And then I also have the marketing agency collective. So we come at it from both ends, which is really wonderful. And it is full-time now. It was side hustle for a number of years and it's full-time now. So I'm so thrilled.
So let's back up now. Tell me about your background, what you were doing, what your 9 to 5 was, what you were working on before you got into this job.
I was an ABA therapist for the school board here. I'd been working with kids and teenagers with special needs for 10 to 15 years, for quite a long time. And I hated it. At the end of it, I was so burnt out. I was exhausted. I was tired. I was like breaking out. Actually, my internal stress started manifesting as physical stress. And my eyes and my face broke out into this really bad, painful rash. My eyes were so swollen that people at work would stop me in the hallway. It was just not a good, safe, healthy environment. And at the time, my husband and I were getting married. Now, husband and I, we were getting married. And I was not happy. I mean, I was happy with him. I was just not happy.
Happy in that part of my life, just not the job. That's what you had gone to school for. It just, you were burnt out. You had been doing it for a long time. It was obviously super stressful.
Yeah. And like the ABA world in particular, that's applied behavior analysis for anybody who doesn't know, and most people do not. In Victoria in particular, it's very controversial. I didn't really realize how controversial. And honestly, Victoria also is, they call it the town of the newlywed and the nearly dead. So I was working with a lot of older teachers who were, you know, retiring or close to retiring, who really didn't want to be shifting up their classroom or their teaching style to suit some of these different learning needs. And so that was also a huge, huge challenge. That the year that I left in particular, that teacher was wonderful, thank goodness. But this student was very volatile, sweet little boy, but very volatile. The dad was a nightmare. That was the first thing I was told when I took that job after I'd signed the contract, of course. They said, Lindsay, you cannot be alone with the father ever. And I was like, okay, but why? I need some context here. Like, is this like a safety issue? Like, what's happening? And so it was a safety thing because he had an absolute reputation of like verbally attacking the female staff. And of course, it was an all-female staff. So it was just awful, to be honest.
That sounds terrible. I mean, that would be terrible in any context, let alone how stressful the job is without all of the extra stuff, that stress going on. That's a very, very admirable, but incredibly challenging and taxing job. So all this time, was there any thought in the back of your head leading up to kind of the culmination of when it became so miserable? Was there a tipping, you were talking to your, you know, now husband, like, I need to get out. Had you thought about like other job opportunities, or how did the idea of kind of starting this whole thing come about?
So my husband and I got pregnant. And so I was like, well, I can't keep going here having rows or chairs thrown at me. So it was really like, I often will say like my first daughter, older daughter, you know, like she saved me from that job because I was just going in and I was miserable and I felt like I couldn't leave because it was that job that you're brought up to cherish. And it is such an amazing opportunity when you have paid vacation and sick time and extended benefits and all the things that you're supposed to like really want in a career. And once you get it, you hold on, right? And I couldn't do it. Also, I don't really follow. I'm not like a great rule follower as a general rule of thumb. So, I mean, that didn't really bother me as much, but there is some sort of internalized pressure there where you're like, I shouldn't let this go. And like, am I just not strong enough to handle this? Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? Other people are doing it and they're happy. And I'm like busting out in face rashes that make me unrecognizable. So it was interesting. So I left that job and I stayed home with my daughter and then I took my mat leave, which was great. And then we were fortunate enough to get pregnant and have a second daughter. And so when she was born, that's when I was kind of like, all right, now what am I going to do? And I was overwhelmed, so overwhelmed with all the opportunities and the possibilities. And I had heard about a book called Careergasm, which I bought and never read. I had heard that author speak and she had said, reverse engineer your career options or your opportunities. And so instead of focusing on that big picture, what am I going to do, which is often paralyzing for a lot of people, build it like a recipe. So think about, okay, what am I going to, like, what are the main ingredients for a successful career for me? So for me, that was having flexibility in my schedule. I didn't particularly want to work for anybody again. I also knew I needed to have a creative outlet and a strategic outlet. And I really, at the very core of it all, needed to be helping people and making a positive impact. That was like the driving force. And then my sister-in-law opened up a restaurant and I thought, well, I'll build you a website. I love building websites just for fun. Built her a website and everything kind of just snowballed from there because then I started doing the social media for the restaurant and found that I was really good at it, which was a mind-blowing thing.
Wait, stop for just 2 seconds. Because like people always are like, I just picked up website. I just did her website and I've always loved to do websites. So, and you said one of the things you were like, it has to be creative. Have you always, and this is one of the things I find with side hustles is that a lot of people have 9 to 5s. It's like they kind of tinkered along or waited for a long time their 9-to-5, but their side hustle and that like interest was always kind of there throughout. They just mm-hmm. didn't choose to tap into it till later. So growing up, were you always creative? Like, have you always played around on computers and websites, or was that, so that's always been a part of your life? You've always been creative.
Always been creative. I mean, I probably as like a 10-year-old wouldn't have sat down and been like, I am a creative person. But for sure, I mean, you've commented a couple times on my hair barrettes. I ordered these ones, but like I have had Etsy shops where I've sold accessories, just like made and sold these accessories. I make my own jewelry. I have a whole like whack load of stuff right now because I was like, I'm going to be a candle maker. And so I've like been like getting all this stuff. I have bath salts in front of me that I made. And so like, I like to do things with my hands. I'm a terrible painter. Never ask me to paint. But I really like, I need to like create something. And so even like baking and whatnot. So I found that, and this is something I find that I always tell my clients too, is when you are in those moments of stress and when you're feeling like overwhelmed or down, go back to what brought you joy and happiness as a kid. What did you love to do then? And how can we bring that into your life now? So the creativity was huge for me. I knew that. I felt so stifled and suffocated.
That's really great. So you started doing the website design and the social media, and you kind of just fell into that for the restaurant and then really liked that. Like that became, were you getting paid for that or were you just doing that as a favor?
I did the website for free. It was just a favor. And like an offering is like a, hey, like, congratulations, you're opening this website or opening this restaurant. And so here's a website for you because they can be so expensive. Yeah. And so I did that for them. And then while all of that was happening and I found that I was really enjoying it and I was surprisingly good at it, which shocked me because I never used social media for myself really ever. Like I was not other than Pinterest, but I feel like that's a different type. Then I joined the Rachel Peterson Social Media University, which was just like a monthly.
Oh, I've never heard of that. So for anybody listening, what is that a course you could take to learn how to leverage social media?
To use social media. Yeah. So she had like a whole online, and it used to be a monthly subscription and I think it's free now. And there are all of these different trainings on how to essentially where you could learn how to be a social media marketer. And so I started to do that. But the actual game changer for me was that somebody in that group, Georgia Mountfort, she posted an opportunity for a web design internship. And so I applied and I got it out of like 100 people. She was overwhelmed with the number of applicants. So she ended up shortlisting and actually choosing like 5 of us. And she was in Australia at the time. Now she's in Seattle. And so I feel like for her is that she really taught me like everything. I'm so grateful to her. I still talk to her. I have a call with her after this actually. And yeah, she's just so amazing. Her brain and intelligence is like next level for marketing and web design. She's a web dev as well. So it's quite amazing to watch and work with her.
So you got that opportunity. And were you immediately thinking like when you did that, were you like, this is going to be the career I want to take? Were you thinking of it like a side hustle, like a business? Because you weren't working full-time at this time. You didn't have any income.
No.
You were just like, were you already the wheels turning about kind of, were you looking to just create sort of some side additional revenue? Or were you thinking, I'm going to build a business and do?
You're like, no,
100% not.
I also, though, I didn't want to tie myself to the idea of where it could go. I just wanted to be open to seeing what could happen. So I was not focused long-term. I was still very much in that like open-minded exploratory frame of mind. Mm-hmm. I did have a bit of income coming in because I was looking after a friend's daughter. So that was helpful. And then my husband, he works full-time. And so we were fortunate enough that I could do that and take that time to figure it out. And I remember getting the acceptance letter from Georgia for the internship. And I was staying at a hotel with my girlfriends for the night and we were out for dinner. And I am not like an outwardly emotional person. And I started to cry in the restaurant and they were like, what's wrong? And I was like, oh, what is wrong with me? It was so bizarre, but it also felt like after having been in that like the 9 to 5 and then moving out of that and being at home with my kids, I was like, oh my gosh, I have something that is for me and that is my sort of, you know, my own identity. And I was really excited to see where that could go. And at the time as well, my daughter, my 8-year-old daughter, now 8, she has quite extensive eczema. So, and she had since like infancy, and I had been brushed off and brushed off and brushed off by all the doctors. And so finally I thought, when I started making some money from this, I thought, okay, what I want to do seems like such a, I mean, great goal, but in hindsight, we could have made this happen. But I thought, I just want to make an extra $500 one month so that I can take her to the naturopath without having to worry about where that money is going to come from. I want to, you know, take her for like a consult and the full blood workup and then a follow-up. So that was like my initial thought once we started making a bit of money was, okay, I just want to make $500. That's all I want to do. And then go from there.
And how did you get your first? So this is your website design. You were just getting clients. How did you get your first clients? How did you, coming out of that internship, did you get connections through that internship? Did you start getting references? How did you start building this side hustle? And was it called your name? Did you create your own website? Was that the first step? What were some of the first steps you took?
I could tell you I got my first clients for sure through Facebook groups. Other people's Facebook groups were like gold. They're a little bit less. I mean, if you comb through them now, you can find opportunities. They're definitely still there, but they're a lot more about like the ladder posts and like, give me your email so I can send you something and then email you every day for the rest of your life. But then it was definitely Facebook groups. I mean, when I actually first started, I didn't have my own website. I didn't have my own business Instagram. I didn't have anything really. I think I set up a business Facebook page just so that people could see that, hopefully. I don't know why in my head I was like, this business Facebook page makes me legit. Now people will know I'm not a scam. I just found everything through Facebook, and I was so fortunate. And that was one of the really wonderful things about working with Georgia, is that she was such a wealth of knowledge and such a wonderful resource. So if I took on a client that I ended up being like, oh God, what have I done? I don't know how to do this. I could ask her, and she would always take the time to help me and support me. So I kind of had that safety net of having her in my back pocket, which was so, so fortunate for me.
That's so nice that you, anytime you have a mentor like that, that extends past like the internship that you can tap into for is amazing. I mean, everybody should have somebody like that. So that's great. So talk me through kind of the shift of, I want to understand how you took it from doing websites for people to building the brand that is your brand right now. And then you really have two parts. I know in the beginning you were mentioning it's streamlined, but you've got like the business that is your name. And then you had the Gilded Blooms communication portion of it, which is the agency side, right? But I want to understand the different, and also you're very targeted, like on your website, you work with, with women, right? And so I want to understand like how that came about and when you decide to make kind of a conscious shift to really like turn it into that business and go for that kind of target audience.
So within my first year, I just kind of made a commitment to myself that I would say yes to any opportunity that came my way that didn't go against my morals and belief system. And so I did, and that expedited my growth astronomically, actually. And it also meant that when I was headhunted on, I must have had a LinkedIn profile, actually, because at some point, I can't imagine it was very good or in depth at the time. But I ended up being invited to become an instructor of social media marketing at a college here locally. So I started to do that. And that was also when I really, I guess, kind of picked up, like thought, okay, well, I don't know, maybe I just thought, well, if I'm teaching it, I should probably be also building it. And so I also always had the mindset that if clients wanted to work with me and I wanted to work with them, I would always rather say yes to them then say no and have them go somewhere else. So if that meant that I was going to take on more work, or if that meant that I was going to hire somebody else on my team, that's what I would do. But really, it was a year of yes. That was really what just took me to where I am now.
And it was a side hustle that you were taking. You were obviously home with your daughters and taking care of another kid, which is like an incredible amount of work. You were just juggling this work. You were saying yes to everything. When were you fitting in doing these websites? Because like obviously some projects take longer than others. And I would assume you have conversations about what people's visions are and there's back and forth. So how did you fit that in with your day job of parenting and taking care of somebody else's kid?
Some days were harder than others. I often joke that I'm like the queen of building your business between nap times, playdates, and Paw Patrol episodes, because it was all about those pockets of time and after the kids would go to bed. And then though, when things started to get really busy, I was like, I got to bring somebody on, because I did not have any work-life balance. To say that is an understatement, and at that point, because I was still newer, I felt like I was overworked and underpaid. I was charging like $20 an hour, which that's great. Some people are still aspiring to be charging $20 an hour, and that's great. Keep going. Like, you will get there. They'll get there. But I had a lot of clients that were $200 a month retainers. And so it was 10 hours, but they were also very needy. And I did not having any boundaries. Would be up until like 3 a.m. working. And then I'd be getting up at 7 to 7:30 with the kids and with them all day, which was also insane. Very lovely. Yes, yes, but crazy.
Lovely and great, but also exhausting. Yes.
Yeah, it was. And I think one of the turning points in that for me was realizing, okay, I am sleeping for like 4 or 5 hours a night. I love my sleep.
Anyway, that's just a little awesome. But I appreciate same thing. So you weren't sleeping. I can totally relate. And you were realizing you need to hire somebody.
Yes, especially because then I was waking up in the middle of the night when I, 2 hours after I went to bed, checking my emails and replying to my clients. And so I was like, well, this is not sustainable either. And so at that point it was, okay, let's start growing. Let's make sure we're bringing in good, solid people that can help support. And so really, I think that was also when it really shifted into more of a business than a hobby. And then I started running internships as well.
And so when you did that, did you work with a business coach who helped you structure like your brand, how you have like the website, digital portion of it? And then you also have, because you have two things, you offer the coaching and then you also offer all the social media and website building and all of that stuff with it. Was that available to everybody when you kind of took it more full time, like you were talking about?
The coaching was not in play yet. The coaching mentorship pieces were not in play unless you were like actually in, I guess there were mentorships, but they were more of the tangible, like this is how you actually do Instagram, or, it was more of the actual skills for that and not as open as, just business in general. And so once I actually parked the coaching, I had felt for a couple of years that call to like move into the marketing or into the coaching and mentorship avenue. But because it became a little bit of a, everybody's jumping on that bandwagon, I parked it for a year and a half or 2 years just to make sure that I actually wanted to do it. And it wasn't something I was just being impulsive about. Because I can be impulsive. And honestly, the fact that I waited that long just shocks me. But because I had been teaching, at that point, I was teaching in the classroom at the college level, and I was teaching, the majority of the students were graphic designers. And so I was teaching them how to build a business and build a brand in the online space. And so I was getting more and more into that. And I just really loved it so much. I had grown up wanting to be a teacher. So it really felt like a good fit for me. I thought like teacher or counselor for a long time. And so this was kind of the best of both worlds, plus having all of that strategy and creativity. I started to finally allow myself to explore that side of things. And I kind of put the agency in neutral for a year or two while I was starting to grow the coaching side of things. So I still had, like, we maintained our clients and we accepted new clients if they came to us, but we weren't doing any outbound marketing or lead gen for our own agency because we were happy with who we had.
How many people do you have on staff helping you, like, are working at your company?
6 other women right now. And yeah, they're all amazing. I'm so grateful to them. And for 1 week, I took fully off and it was great. I didn't worry about anything. I wasn't worried about like missed deadlines. I wasn't worried about the sales page isn't going to be ready or the website's not ready or these people are going to miss all their marketing posts. everything was handled and it was amazing.
Are you the one that does the coaching or there are other people on your staff? You're the one that does the coaching.
No, I'm the one that does the coaching.
You do the coaching. So how many clients can you take on at a time when you're doing the coaching?
It depends. I like to keep it a little bit lighter in the summer rather than the school year, just because I, you know, my kids are home in the summer. They're around a lot more. And also depends on if I have any like group programs or anything running at the same time. But in terms of my one-to-one, I can take up to about 9 people at any given time. And it's great.
That's a good amount because I know you offer all different types of options and packages that you've created for coaching. I have a question about coaching. This is just general sort of that I always wonder about coaching. So when you see your website, and I saw some of your success stories, some of your testimonials, which are great. People who've loved working with you, obviously, and you've helped them grow their business. How do you manage and set expectations and then feel confident about the ability to deliver on those with the business that you're given, the person you're working with? I mean, there's so many variables in that, that it seems like such a difficult business to have somebody be like, pick you and be like, yes, grow my business, take it from here to here, and then deliver on that, because who knows what you're getting and whether people want. How do you handle that?
I'm very honest with my clients or potential clients. And for people who say like, what will my ROI be? I'm going to tell you, I have no idea, because I'm only one piece of this puzzle. I'm only one piece of this. Like, this is going to be a partnership. So I will be here for you and I will help you. I will strategize with you. I will help you with execution. I will pick you up if you are crying. I'll be that shoulder to lean on. I will be your cheerleader. I will be what you need, but I can only do so much. You also have to show up for you. As long as you show up, we can move mountains together. And I mean, one of my clients, as an example, when she and I started together, she was making $289 in retainers per month as an editor and as a copy editor. And when we finished, she was consistently over $5,000 months every month. And she had like streamlined her business. She felt a lot better about it. She was more excited. She was finally hitting that work-life balance, because before she wasn't, she was working herself into the ground. Everything changed for her, but she showed up and she had resistance to some of my suggestions and ideas, as we all do at different times. And I would say to her, look, that's fine. Like, just because I suggest it doesn't mean you have to do it. This has to feel good to you too. And if it doesn't, we'll find a different way. However, if you're saying no because you're afraid, let's talk about that and figure out a way to go through that. And so, I mean, she was amazing. She showed up, she advocated for herself. We had some great conversations. And at the end of all of these packages, like all of these containers, almost every single time I walk away with a new friend. Like, we are friends because we're so involved.
I was going to ask you, what's the typical time frame? Is it set for everybody? Is it like, I offer you X number of hours and after a certain amount of months, then that's when you cut it off? Or is it different for everybody?
It can be different for everybody. I mean, they usually start out as like a 4-month or a 6-month contract. It's totally up to them. And then once that contract is up, if they would like to continue, we can continue on a month-to-month basis. If they would like a break and then they want to come back.
I often wonder if too, with the coaching, is it, because I've talked to people who have like set kind of almost like a set manual where it's like, this is what I offer, and they talk you through it. But do you have a formula, something you've patented that you've created that's like a success plan that you can sort of spit out and regenerate? Or with every person, like, what do you feel like is the value of them coming to you versus somebody else? Like, what are you offering them?
Honestly, I do not use a specific framework or formula and I very intentionally don't, because for me, the way that I get into the businesses of my clients, it's so different person to person. And yes, there are certain things that we will always look at. We, you know, start out by reevaluating or shifting or tweaking. But part of my whole like belief system is that we don't have to do things the way that everybody else is doing them. I'm an introvert. So coming into the online space and seeing so many extroverts, it was like, well, what am I doing here? And a lot of my clients are introverts. And so I don't use a specific formula. Yes, I will pull from things that I've done before or done with other clients, but, and I have an outline, I have an idea, but trust me, there is never a shortage of things to work on or work through. Right. And I always tell my clients, I can create this formula. You know, I can do the steps 1 to 10 that we did with so-and-so. However, you are a completely different person. You are here with different experiences, and I want to meet you where you're at and go from there. Because why are we trying to build your business based off the model of somebody else's?
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. So when you, and obviously, you know, based on your website, you've got so many success stories. How do you get most of your clients? Do you advertising yourself? Are you active on social media doing that? How are most of your clients brought to you?
Mostly through Instagram.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, almost all of them. Actually, I should say it's probably split about 50-50 between Instagram and referrals. So the people that I've worked with, they often refer me to other people. And so it's been, that has been a really wonderful thing for me. And I think it's part of the reason that I have such great testimonials. It's because they're not, people aren't afraid to refer me because they enjoyed our experience and they got what they wanted and more out of it.
Do you still have a pause on the digital side of your agency? Are you actively promoting that now?
We're picking it back up. We signed a few clients in February, so got them up and running, and we've got another one coming on in May. It's also growing again, which is awesome.
That's great. So which side of your business earns the most for you in terms of revenue, or are they equal?
It ebbs and flows for sure. I would say probably the coaching side now brings in more, but like I said, it ebbs and flows, and really where is also dictated by where our focus is.
Got it. Well, I think it's great. You have such a great offering because I think you offer either just the coaching or you offer, I know you, the whole package, if you want to do everything, if they need the website and the social media and all that. So it's kind of a one-stop shop, which is really nice. Have you had any major, it seems like your business is, and obviously in a lot of these stories, and I know it's not the case, like there are ups and downs, but for people listening, it does seem like, okay, you went from here and it was just a great success story all the way to top. Have you had any major setbacks, or like what's been like the biggest challenge in growing this business and taking it full time?
I would say the consistency component, right? Because I really have an issue with the lack of transparency in the online space. It really bothers me actually, because I think it does leave that idea of, oh, it was just so easy for people. They just hit this trajectory. I mean, trust, it was not always easy for me. And like those late nights and early mornings, things were hard. And I had some brutal clients that were borderline or questionably verbally abusive. And it was not always smooth sailing.
For somebody who is listening, who's interested in going into something similar, or maybe has a few clients, what would be some tips or advice that you would give looking back on your journey?
I would say definitely say yes. I mean, I feel like that was the biggest thing for me, being open to opportunity and not being tied to one specific outcome was huge for me, because it allowed me to sort of dip my toe in different areas and see what I liked, see what I didn't like, see who I liked to work with, who I did not like to work with, and then make decisions from there. I never focused on having all the steps figured out to the end goal, because I didn't know what that end goal was. And I still don't know what that end goal is. And that I'm totally fine with that, because I feel like that allows me to release that pressure to a much bigger degree than I could if I knew exactly where I wanted to be in that 5 years. I like to say plan with flexibility. So make a bit of a plan and make sure that you're working towards that on a daily basis. And if you're going to say no to something, ask yourself what your yes is. So if your no is getting on camera, what's your yes? How are you going to counter that? And what I actually like to challenge people to do is say, okay, if you're saying no to this, for every no, have 2 yeses to balance that out and keep going. And so, and don't compare yourself to other people online. I mean, like you said, you know, it's so easy to look at people and think, oh, it's they're an overnight success story. We don't know. We don't know all the things. Not that that's not success, but like, we don't know. Yeah. We just don't know. Like, how long were they stuck for? How long were they sitting around and moping for before they took action? And that's the other thing. Take action. Do something. You can plan yourself into oblivion, but if you ever never do anything with it, you're not going to go anywhere. You just like,
I love that. I think that's all great advice. And I really like the like plan with flexibility. Cause actually one of my last kind of question before I ask, you know, where people can find you online and all that good stuff is usually like, where do you see yourself? Not the 5 year, but I do sometimes ask that, but like what's next for your business? And so to the point of your previous answer about flexibility, do you look beyond that? Do you have goals and for where you want to grow the business? Are you happy with it now? Or do you not really want to think beyond what you're kind of currently doing?
No, I love what I do right now. I'm so happy. Honestly, I am. Yes, I have off days. I know that I want to continue on this path. I know that I love what I do. I know I want to help more people, but I don't totally know where we're going yet. And I find that really exciting.
That's great. Everything that you offer too, and the advice of just like, do something and move forward. Because I sometimes think that even if you don't have a plan, just moving forward will sometimes take you someplace. You might not have it figured out, like you said, but you're moving forward and then you'll figure it out as you go. And
totally.
I'm very similar to you in that way where I don't always have the big plan figured out. So I think that's great. And well, thank you so much for being here. And I loved hearing your story. I think it's really great for other people to hear all about how you kind of got to where you are. And I also think you're a really great connection for anybody who is looking for a coach, a mentor, somebody to build their business, help with the website and social media and all that stuff. So tell everybody where they can find you online, social media, all that good stuff.
So my Instagram is where I am the most. And that's just at the Lindsay Stead. My website is www.thelindsaystead.com. And those are the two primary places to connect with me. Otherwise, you can find me on Facebook and on LinkedIn, even on TikTok, actually, a little bit. But
there you go.
Consistently on Instagram. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This was amazing.